what is our definition of God? So we can all start from the same place. We can all have the same understanding what the definition is. And my definition might be a little bit different than what somebody else's is, but it's going to be similar. Like, we don't believe that God's a man sitting on a throne, judging people and doing things like this and that. So my definition comes from really the Kabbalion, which was written by the three initiates who are followers of Hermes Trismegistus. And their definition of God is they call God the All. And that definition of what they define that as is infinite living mind. Okay? So I've spoken about this before, but I'll say it again. And if anybody doesn't understand, just let me know, because that means I'm not explaining it in a good enough way. But they explain it in a kind of a logical way of how the human mind thinks when they were thinking, what is God? What could it be? And they said, well, there has to be something that created everything. Okay? There has to be some reason that existence exists. So something had to have created this universe. And then they said, and that has to be the top. This all has to be the top, because there can be nothing outside of him, or that would be the all that created him. Okay? So there is some top level all being, which we would consider energy, really, right, that created everything, and there's nothing out above that. Everybody with me so far? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then they said, well, how can something like that create something when there's nothing outside of itself? How can it make things? There's nothing to make things from. Okay? And so then they said, well, how do we create without using things? And they said, we create with our minds. We think, and we can create things. And we know, as metaphysicians, thoughts are things, and we can actually create circumstances. We can create things to happen when we put the right energy into them and have experiences come. So they said, oh, God is mind, and this world is really mind, infinite living mind. Okay? And that's where this creation came from the thoughts of this God, which they say, other than those two things, God is unknowable, because we can't figure out anything more than those things. That he must be the ultimate, and the only way that he could create would be by thought. So it must be infinite living mind. Okay, everybody kind of with me? Okay. So then Jesus had said, your father maketh his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Okay? So what does that mean? What he's really saying there is, God doesn't pick favorites. There are no, I'm looking at you and you get this, you get this, you don't get this, you're going to have kids, you're going to get married. It's not a choice like that where God is deciding for us. Okay? There's laws which we just were saying, we make our own happiness or unhappiness as we follow and obey nature's physical and spiritual laws. The laws are what exist for everybody. The laws are what is fair to everybody. Okay? So all these laws that are applied, we all have to live within the rules of these laws. And like a physical law, I can't jump up and fly around because there's gravity. There's a physical law there, but there's also spiritual laws that we need to follow. Now, the one thing is, it doesn't make life a lot easier when we have trials in our life, or what some might call the dark night of the soul. So, what are those things? Those things are really like trial times that we have. And let me see how I want to go about this. So, there's people that we see. Some people are sick, right? Some people have a lot of money. Some people don't have anything. There's people living on the street. Why is it like that, right? What is the reason for that? Because it doesn't make sense to our human minds. If it's everything's even, rains on the just and unjust, why is it like that? The one reason that we say here is because We have, before we came to the earth plane, we're all spiritual beings. We all have this God self as part of us, okay? And that's who we truly are, and that's what goes on past our physical death, this spiritual being, okay? This higher self is what we would call it. And we've made a deal with other spiritual beings that we were going to come to the earth plane, and we chose our bodies, we chose our parents, and we chose what events we would have happen during our lifetime. Okay? So some of us have chosen, and you might say, well, why would somebody choose to be sick? That could be because the person wanted to have a greater understanding and compassion for other people that are sick. So they might be a healer, and they might come here, get sick, and go through all these horrible times and whittle away till they pass. And I think a lot of these things that we experience here are a test. When we go through a trial time and everything just seems wrong and we get down on ourselves and we can't understand what's going on and we feel like we've lost our connection to spirit, that happiness that we had the day before, the week before, the year before, that we'd just been in the greatest mood, all of a sudden all that goes and we feel totally disconnected. What we would consider that is a trial time. And what it really is a time where they're basically seeing where you're at with how you handle a situation that's come up, okay? And to see if you can make it. There's a book by Pensacia called The High Mountain, and in this book she describes this, and it's a spiritual mountain that everybody's climbing. And she's going along, and she has her spirit guides and teachers there with her, and she's going up this mountain, and all of a sudden she finds herself in complete darkness. She doesn't see her spirit guides around anymore. She doesn't have anything to grab onto. She hears voices calling her to stop trying to climb the mountain. You can't make it. You're never going to make it through all these things. And then at the end, she always calls out and sticks to her guns and goes, oh, this is what I know. And she has that faith and she calls out, okay, I see I can't make it without you. Help, come to me and help me, right? And then all of a sudden that trial will be gone. Spirit shows back up. They go, you've stuck it out. And then things, after a period like that, you get to go through a time where you've had a spiritual growth, and you get to be back at a time of enjoying life and learning again, and we go on and on and on. Now, if you don't have that understanding, what do we do? I had a lot of times growing up and getting to where I'm at now where I've just felt like I'd rather just be dead. I don't like the way that the world is. I don't like any of these things. In high school, I didn't have a great home life, really. In school, I didn't care for at all. And usually what I would think about mostly was, there's atomic weapons. The world's going to be wiped out by the time I'm 30 anyways. Why even bother? Now, here I am 50, and it's still going on. But but I used to think like that. I was like, there's nothing that I want to do. There's no job that I want. When I graduate high school, I'm going to have to go out, get a job, work, have a house, have all these bills, pay for food, worry about this stuff all the time. And to me at that time, it was just too much. It was just too much, and I had given up. And so I didn't really have a spiritual understanding. I had nothing to fall back on, and I ended up turning to drugs and alcohol for a long time. And the one thing is that I found out about myself is I really don't have a middle ground. I either have an off or an on switch. And when I go on, I go full on. That's it. Like, it's just on. And so I went that path for a while, for about 3 or 4 years. And I guess maybe I was just trying to see, hey, where is the bottom at? I don't know. But, you know, you end up getting to a place where you just don't have anything, and eventually you decide you either can stay there or you can decide to try to step up and try to grow out of that and come out of that hole that you dug for yourself. And so I went to the military, got straightened up, learned how to follow rules good, and I'm a good follower, excellent follower. I can follow orders, loyal, I can do all those things. Now, some other experiences that I've had were, when I got out of the military, I was working for a place, I was a computer programmer learning on the job, and they started me off at $20,000 a year, and this is in Massachusetts. Well, $20,000 in Massachusetts What can that get you, Pat? Not much. And so, I mean, I had an apartment. My wife from England had come, and, you know, she was working too. So we had two incomes, and we were making do. But at one point, I was just so frustrated. My car was all beat up. My brother had loaned me the money to get it. It was had, like, a different color hood. It had, right, all this stuff. And I had to drive into Boston every day, which is a long way, drop her off, wait for her to get off work, pick her up on the way. I mean, a lot of effort going in to get to these jobs and get home just to survive. And one day I just thought to myself, man, I don't want this. What I want is, why can't I just have a nice home, two cars that I know will run all the time, that I know are going to be good, and I don't have to worry about them breaking down, and enough money to have food and be able just to have a normal type of life. Well, that is what I have now, but I didn't know it then. But actually what that was I was calling out and telling the universe what it is that I actually wanted. Right? I was saying, this is what I want. And then they say, okay, and it doesn't happen necessarily like that. You don't win the lottery the next day. It, like, takes time. But you put in your order, and then they go, okay, here it goes. So you get that back. Now, the one thing is, I was always afraid to actually kill myself because I had grown up and thinking, oh, I don't want to go to hell. Right? That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to go to hell. So I just don't know. I'm too afraid to do it. So I was really just scared. Now my understanding, which I know that there really is no hell in our teachings, that's what we believe, there is no hell. Now I don't want to kill myself because, and I don't want to in general because my life has changed a lot and things are a lot better and I'm happy. Because if you kill yourself because you can't face a challenge that's come up before you, then you have to come back and face that challenge again. And so it's like, man, you're not getting ahead by doing that. So you might as well put in the effort now, suck it up, and go through with it. Now, the one thing is, our purpose here really is to learn and grow. That's the whole reason that we're here, right? We came here to experience things that we don't have a full understanding of, so that we can learn about those things and have a better understanding of it and grow in a spiritually evolved way. Now I lost my thought here. But that's what we're here for, okay? To grow into this spiritually evolved way. We all have this ego part of ourselves, and we have this higher self, which is our God self that we come with. Our ego self doesn't want us to give control up to this higher self, okay? So it's always working to sabotage us, okay? So in certain ways it could be, oh, you should just kill yourself. There's no reason to go on. You can't make it. It's all pointless anyways. Just do this. And if you can make it past that point where you go, okay, well, I'll never do that, then your ego starts working on other places. It's the smartest, trickiest thing that I think exists because it is so smart and it knows you better than anything. And then it will start telling you either you're greater than everybody else or you're not worthy of anything, you're less than everybody else, or a million other things that it can try to trick you into thinking a different way. Jealousy, right? All these things. You can't forgive people. Anger. It will keep on working at you and trying to get you. Okay, this higher self, and it hates the higher self, and it hates you turning yourself over to love and light and getting rid of that self that only thinks about yourself. So I was coming here for about 4 years, and then what made life a lot easier for me in a lot of ways was in 2016, my brother passed away in February, my sister passed away in August, and my dad passed away in November. Now, that would have been extremely difficult for me if I had no understanding, if I didn't have the understanding that I gained by coming here and being here for 4 years, because I have an understanding that allows me to see what is kind of going on behind the scenes, and it's a behind-the-scenes picture that I can actually accept and go, oh, this is what's going on. I can accept that as an answer because that answer makes sense to me. And so I'm very lucky to have all of you in my life, so I'm really appreciative of it. really appreciative because it made a difference. And every time I come here and see your faces and stuff, every single one of you, I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful for this person. I'm so grateful. I can't wait to come back again just to see the people that are here because they're all wonderful. Now, the one thing is we can't ever live anybody else's life for them. Okay? That's one of the things because we all have our own life plan. And nobody can live our life for us and solve all our problems for us. So the only thing that we can do is be there for each other and try to help each other anytime that we can. Okay? And that's what I have here. I have the best friends that you could ever meet in a million years. Now, like I was saying, also, as far as the never give up, when we face these hard times, and I can only see this now because of my age, and I can look back and see how things transpired and what things changed and how things changed in different ways. If I would have given up back then, all these other wonderful things that have happened since then, I would have never experienced. I went through a divorce, and I had two kids, and that was a rough time for me. But then all of a sudden, now I met somebody else. This marriage is way better. I have two more kids, and my life is just wonderful for the last 21 years we've been married now. And I would have missed out on all that. I would have missed out on these awesome kids that are just so fun. I mean, there are things that are super enjoyable in life that you can find. So what I really want to say is I've always been a good follower, like I was saying, because I can follow rules, and I never wanted to be a leader in any way. That, like, didn't interest me. I never wanted to be a leader. I don't know how I'm up here right now. That's how Spirit worked it out that I got ordained, because that was never part of my plan, but that's what happened. And so the way that I really see my role and what I really want it to be is really I want to be a leader, but from behind each of you, and help push each of you on further and further and help you to get through any kind of issues that might come up for you. Like, that's the way that I see my role, and that's the way that I feel like I fit. So I just say, never give up. We don't know what the future holds for us. And I just want you to know that I would do anything for any of you, even if it's just being a listening ear. If you have a tough time or you're having a problem and you just want somebody just to hash something out, that I'll always be here for you. I know Reverend Connie would always be here for you to help you in any ways. And there's an entire group here that can all be that exact same thing, and they already all are that. So I just wanted to finish by saying I appreciate all of you so much. Thank you for being part of my journey. And you're the best group of people that I've ever met. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Scott. You know, in development,